One Witness radio broadcast, speaking to you this week concerning the American Revolution and how our great nation was founded by God out of a great awakening. One of the characters of the American Revolution is Haim Salomon, a Jew. We have already discussed this week how the Jews got involved with the Puritans, how they came to America, how the Puritans told them of the scriptures they had discovered that God was going to bring the Jews home one day. And so the Jews came here, and they were used by God. We're talking about a man this week that when their 200th celebration of the American Revolution in 1975 printed a stamp in his memory on both sides, and they called him Haim Salomon, financial hero. Businessman, this is printed on the stamp. Businessman and broker Haim Salomon was responsible for raising most of the money needed to finance the American Revolution and later to save the new nation from collapse. Haim Salomon came to America, and I'm going to read you from the children's book again today what the situation was like then. At this time, the 13 American colonies belonged to the British Empire. However, King George III of England did not treat the colonists well. He forced Americans to pay extra money called taxes for ordinary things like newspapers, tea, etc. So the colonists declared war on England, saying they wanted to be free and rule their own country. Among the many people who wanted change was Haim Salomon. One day, he was a Polish Jew who had come here to America. One day, someone knocked on Haim's door. It was his friend, Alexander McDougall. "I'm leading a group called the Sons of Liberty," said Alexander. "We secretly fight the English. A couple of years ago, when an English ship arrived in New York, we dressed up as Indians and dumped the cargo of tea overboard." Haim sat forward and listened. "Do you want to join us?" said Alexander. "I must warn you, it will be dangerous. Once the British caught me for printing pamphlets and threw me in jail." Haim thought carefully. He certainly did not want to get into trouble, but on the other hand, he loved his new country. He had come all this way to find freedom. "Yes," Haim told Alexander, "I will join your group. What do you want me to do?" In June 1776, Haim closed his profitable business. He left New York with a wagon full of supplies for the American army. Haim rode many miles to Fort Ticonderoga at Lake George, New York. There he set up a tent to house coats, shoes, boots, blankets, and other things the soldiers needed and badly and had no other way of getting. Every month, Haim paid a fee for the right to sell these goods from his tent. That money went to a fund for widows, orphans, and retired soldiers. "Good work, Mr. Salomon," said General Philip Schuyler, the officer in command. Haim had brought eyeglasses packed in little wooden boxes tied with ribbons. "Try these on," he said to the men who were having trouble reading. Local farmers also brought goods, meat, vegetables, and berries to Haim's tent to sell to the soldiers. In April of the following year, word came that the Redcoats, as the British soldiers were called, were going to attack New York City. General Washington and his troops were far north in Massachusetts and had to journey quickly to New York. As soon as Haim heard the news, he packed up and headed home to New York, too. By the time Haim arrived, the British had won the battle and had captured the city. On September 20, 1776, in the middle of the night, a fire broke out. Flames swept through the city, smoke filled the air. By dawn, more than 400 buildings had burned down. British officers immediately suspected that the fire had been started by the Sons of Liberty. Rumors had spread that these patriots would rather see their city burned down than turn it over to the British. "Let's get the Sons of Liberty," cried the British. They rounded up the rebels, arrested them, and shot some on the spot. Haim was now a well-known member of the Sons of Liberty, so soldiers rushed to his house, pounded on the door, "Open up, you're under arrest." The British marched Haim off to jail called the Old Sugar House. Now, we'll talk about that later, but I want to go to the book for adults now, trusting that we can understand it as well as we did the one for children. Once settled in Philadelphia, this is back before he was arrested, Haim started doing brokerage business in a corner of a coffee house. This was not an uncommon practice for brokers. Coffee houses served as meeting places, the crossroads for the men of the community. Solomon was deeply moved when he read a letter from James Thatcher, which appeared in a local newspaper. Our poor soldiers are reduced to the very edge of famine. Their patience is exhausted by complicated suffering, and their spirit is almost broken. Now, we're going to read to you from the book that we're making available to you, Forgotten Patriot Haim Solomon. And it says, the sorry condition of the American forces is described in the most bleak of terms in Washington Irving's Life of George Washington. This is the quote. The winter set in early and was uncommonly rigorous. The transportation of supplies was obstructed. The magazines were exhausted, and the commissaries had neither money nor credit to enable them to replenish them. For weeks at a time, the army was on half allowance, sometimes without meat, sometimes without bread, sometimes without both. There was a scarcity, too, of clothing and blankets, so that the poor soldiers were starving with cold as well as hunger. Washington wrote to Governor Reed of Pennsylvania, entreating aid and supplies from that state to keep his army from disbanding. We have never, said he, experienced a like extremity in any period of the war. To suffer was the lot of the Revolutionary soldier. A rigorous winter had much to do with the actual distresses of the army, but the root of the evil lay in the derangement of the currency. Now listen to this. Congress had commenced the war without adequate funds and without the power of imposing direct taxes. To meet pressing emergencies, it had printed paper money, which for a time passed currently at par, but sank in value as further emissions succeeded, and that already in circulation went unredeemed. Thus, the country gradually became flooded with a continental currency, as it was called, irredeemable and of no value. Have you ever heard the statement, that's not worth a continental? It means a continental dollar. They didn't have the money. Wars have to be financed. You have to pay the soldiers. You have to have some equipment. You have to have some arms. You have to have food. You have to have logistics. And they had printed continental dollars that were worthless. Onto the stage of history walks the wandering Jew from Poland, Haim Solomon, to make an unheralded contribution that no less than saved the day for George Washington and the American Army. I'm reading to you now from Dr. Lewis's book, Haim Solomon, Forgotten Patriot. Haim Solomon began to tour the army camps to see what conditions the soldiers were living under. It was a bleak and discouraging picture he found. Shirley Milgram wrote, when Solomon had recovered from his ordeal, he explored the camp with a young lieutenant. The Continental Northern Force was a sorry sight. No one owned a complete uniform, a new musket, or an unbent bayonet. Lean men in buckskin shirts, coonskin caps and shoes, tied together with rope, stood around idly outside their patched tents. Solomon had heard of the poverty of some members of the American force, but to actually see these conditions shook him up badly. So Solomon began his coffee house brokerage. It gained fame throughout the 13 states and with the Europeans. So sound were his judgments, so profitable. He set up a table in a coffee house. So sound were his judgments, so profitable his ventures, that people came from everywhere to have him make investments for them. Solomon was eager to serve the Revolutionary War effort and attempted time after time to contact Robert Morris, the treasurer of the Continental Congress. He hoped to assist the government on a more direct and effective basis. The story of Haim Solomon is succinctly told in the authoritative Encyclopedia Britannica. Haim Solomon, U.S. patriot who was principal financier of the fledgling American Republic and a founder of the first Philadelphia synagogue, Mikveh Israel, for his Jewish co-religionists. In 1772, probably because of his revolutionary activities for Polish liberty, He fled to the New York City, where he established himself as a commission merchant. He soon became a successful financier and supported the patriotic cause on the outbreak of the American Revolution. In 1776, the British, who controlled New York City, arrested Solomon. Exposure suffered in prison soon led to his early death. He actually, in prison, contracted tuberculosis. And this caused him to die an early death later at the age of only 46. He was paroled, but he was arrested again in 1778 on more serious charges. He escaped and went to Philadelphia. There he established a brokerage office and acted without salary as the financial agent of the French, doing all in his power to facilitate the Franco-American alliance. Folks, this book tells about how he himself raised the funds to support the French army and the French soldiers that came to fight for America. The superpower in the earth was Britain. Those colonists needed someone on their side, and Haim Salomon raised the money to support the French soldiers under Lafayette who came here. I'm reading you from the Encyclopedia Britannica. Among his many other contributions to the colonies, Salomon subscribed heavily to government loans, endorsed notes, gave generously to soldiers, and equipped several military units with his own money. Robert Morris, the superintendent of finance from 1781 to 1784, appointed Solomon as broker to his office. Robert Morris records in his diary that between 1781 and 1784, Solomon lent more than, now this figure is disputed, it has been proved to be $800,000 plus. In addition, he made private loans to prominent statesmen such as James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, and James Monroe, from whom he would not take interest at all. In all, the government owed Solomon more than $600,000. Now, that's a very small figure. It has been proven, and the 37th Congress of America said it was in excess of $800,000. Generations of his descendants tried in vain to collect some portion of these loans, which had helped to impoverish Solomon in his last years. He actually died broke. From Jacob Marcus's account, we learn the following. I'll read you this tomorrow, because we have, how much, Randy, left here? About 2 minutes, 1 minute plus? All right, I want to tell you about the meetings that we have coming up. We have Awakening America Rally, March 16 through 19 in Osage Beach, Missouri. We would like you to register. Registration is free. Just go online to billybrim.org. We're having, right here at Prayer Mountain, and we can only have about 200 people, but we're going to delve into the book of Daniel, April 14 through 17. Again, you can register online at billybrim.org. You can get the book that I'm reading from, Forgotten Patriot Haim Salomon. You'll want this book, written by Dr. David Allen Lewis. We're making it available to you for $5. Just telephone us at 1-800-972-3447. Where you can read on your own the wonderful story of Haim Salomon and how, as the stamp said that was issued in his memory, he financed the American Revolution, and later, when the new country was about to go bankrupt, on his deathbed, he saved it. This is Billy Brim coming to you from Prayer Mountain, saying to you, until tomorrow, Shalom, shalom.